The Epistle for the Solemnity of the Most Holy Rosary is taken from the Book of Wisdom, the 8th chapter. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before he made anything from the beginning. I was set up from eternity and of old, before the earth was made. The depths were not as yet, and I was already conceived. Now therefore, ye children, hear me. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, and that watcheth daily at my gates, and waiteth at the posts of my doors. He that shall find me shall find life, and shall have salvation from the Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel being come in said unto her, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Who having heard was troubled at his saying, and thought with herself what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David his father. And he shall reign in the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How shall this be done, because I know not man? And the angel answering said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And therefore also the Holy which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her that is called barren, because no word shall be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. These words are taken from the gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the middle of the 16th century, the Turks swept forth from the east with an invincible multitude of armies and navies. They conquered every Christian kingdom between Constantinople and the gates of Vienna. By the time of the election of St. Pius V to the papacy in 1566, the Turks were besieging Cyprus, the last Christian outpost in the Eastern Mediterranean. They sought not to make converts, but to conquer and annihilate all of Western civilization. The Muslim warriors had one war tactic that had made them quite successful. They sent overwhelming numbers of Turks against smaller foes. In this way, they pushed farther and farther into the West. Pope St. Pius V called upon all the faithful to pray the Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary for assistance and safety against the enemies of the Church. Confraternities and religious orders throughout the world answered the Pope's request. And there have been few occasions in the history of the world when so many people were united in prayer in the same way for the same intention. Meanwhile, the Islam fleet loitered in the Mediterranean along the coasts of Greece and Italy. One after another, they ambushed and pillaged smaller Christian cities. They took men and women as slaves and as galley slaves. Torturing them, they mercilessly killed the young and the old. By 1571, a Christian fleet was gathered under the command of Don Juan of Austria. On October 7, 1571, 236 Christian warships carrying 30,000 men sailed into Lepanto Bay to meet and face the 282 Turkish warships, which carried 50,000 men. The Turks had only 46 more vessels, but they had 20,000 more men. When the Christian fleet, aligned in the form of a cross, faced the Turkish fleet, aligned in the form of a crescent that day, the wind was in the favor of the Turks. This was a great advantage for ships at this time, relying only on the wind and the rowing of the galley slaves for their maneuvers. As the Christians prepared for battle, Andreas Dorias, the admiral under Don Juan, unfurled his banner of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Once the banner was unfurled, almost immediately the wind changed. The wind, which had been in favor of the Turks all morning, changed to the favor of the Christians. Don Juan quickly noticed the change and then made a swift and a bold move. He commanded his ship to sail straight for the ship of Ali Pasha, the caliph and the commander of the Turks. After an exhausting fight, Don Juan captured Ali Pasha's ship, his flagship, and he lowered the crescent flag of the Turks. Seeing this, the Turks lost all courage, and by the end, the Christians had sunk 50 of the Turkish ships and captured 117, while they lost only 12 ships to the Turks. Very soon, the whole Christian world recognized the miraculous triumph against all odds, and that it was due to the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Or as the Venetians said after the battle, not our power and arms, not our leaders, but the Madonna of the Rosary brought us victory. The Venetians were not the first to praise Our Lady. 15 centuries before the Christian and Turkish fleets met in the Lepanto Bay, an archangel came down from heaven with a message for the Blessed Virgin Mary. Saint Gabriel, the archangel, said to Our Lady, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." An archangel from heaven saluted this young woman, then proclaimed that she was replete with the grace of God and that the Lord was with her. When Saint Gabriel hailed her in this wondrous way, Our Lady was troubled and thought, "What manner of salutation is this?" Then the angel familiarly addressed her by her name, telling her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God." He told her, "Do not suspect any treachery in me. I am not an angel of Satan, but of God. You have no reason to fear, because I bear a message from God." Saint Gabriel's message to the Blessed Virgin Mary was not only to ask her to consent to be the mother of God, but it is also a message to us that she is our mediatrix of grace. The words of the archangel tell us how pleasing Our Lady is to God. And this is so because of her foreseen holiness, her most perfect conformity with the will of God. St. Louis de Montfort explains, Mary is like a mold, a cast, in which Jesus forms his saints. She is the model of sanctity. In view of her sublime sanctity, God gave the Blessed Virgin power on our behalf. The seraphic doctor, St. Bonaventure, teaches, Our Lord gave us his own mother for our advocate and mediatrix of grace. But what do we mean by mediatrix? Mediatrix comes from the Latin medium, which means middle. A mediatrix, or a mediator, is a person who is in the middle, who is in between. Our Lady is our mediatrix because she is between us and her divine Son, who alone is the mediator between God and man. But after him, our Lord, there are secondary mediators, as it were. And these are, of course, the saints. And Our Lady is the greatest of all these. Because, as one holy Carmelite priest wrote, Our Blessed Mother gives Jesus to us, and she brings us to him. Thus, she is truly the channel through which we go to God, and God's graces come to us. St. Pius X said, She merited to become the dispenser of all the benefits which Jesus acquired for us by shedding his blood. Not only does she have the power to distribute these benefits or graces and thus help us, but as our loving mother, she wants to help us. It is because of her care and love for us that she gave us the rosary to help us. This she did about the year 1200 when she gave the rosary to St. Dominic to help him fight against the Albigensian heresy. And with the spread of the rosary, the heresy was eliminated. We have the rosary as an instrument of grace. But the amount of help and grace we receive, my dear faithful, is dependent on us, on how well we use the means, the tool of grace. The Catechism of the Council of Trent teaches about this proportion, the relation between our effort and our benefit. It says that to those who pray with devout attention, God grants more. The rosary is partly vocal and partly mental prayer. We shouldn't be saying the rosary as fast as our lips can manage it, but we should pray the rosary with our mind and our heart. When we say the closing prayer of the rosary, we pray these words, Grant, we beseech thee, that meditating upon these mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we may imitate what they contain and obtain what they promise. That is, we ask God to help us to imitate the virtues of our Lord and our Lady, but we make that request dependent on our meditating on those mysteries. We ought then to consider the mystery, the scene in the life of our Lord and our Blessed Mother, in order to imitate them. For example, when we pray the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation, imagine yourself there. See the young Blessed Virgin kneeling in her room. See yourself in her room, a little behind her. Imagine the light from her window becoming more and more bright, resplendent, until St. Gabriel appears and speaks to her. Listen to the words which he says, as if you were right there behind her. Then ask yourself, what is the lesson here for me? And what am I going to do after meditating on this mystery to be more like Our Lady? And do this with every mystery we pray in the Rosary, by imagining, seeing, hearing what took place, and learning something from the scene, we pray the Rosary well. And if we do this, we will ensure that we obtain her promises. Our Blessed Mother has bound herself by certain promises given to Saint Dominic. One of these is, to all those who pray the Rosary well, I promise my special protection and the greatest graces. In other words, our Blessed Mother will be our special guardian, keeping us safe from harm and showering upon us the graces we need for the duties in our state and life. In this promise, she offers us every good. In another, she tells us she will help us conquer every evil. She said, "The Rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresies. While we try to live a moral life, our pagan world, the flesh, and the devil seek to numb our consciences, so that we think less about our soul, about God, and the things of God. And since we are surrounded with these influences and these forces that aim to destroy our souls, we need Our Lady's armor against hell. Resolve then, my dear faithful, to pray the Rosary every day. In doing so, see and follow this scene or the mystery that you are praying. Consider the lesson from that scene and how it should affect your life. As the Turks sought to ravage Western civilization, so we ourselves, our loved ones, and our country are under attack by the forces of evil. Christians got on their knees and prayed to Our Lady, and they conquered. So too do we need to pray our Rosary every day for help in this struggle to become saints. Have no fear nor any anxiety, though, for our loving Mother will triumph. Remember that the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe was raised in the battle against the Turks in Lepanto Bay. Notice what is under Our Lady's feet in that image which she gave us at her apparition at Guadalupe 40 years prior, the crescent moon, the crescent being the symbol of the Turks. By divine providence and her maternal intercession and the rosaries of those Catholics, she conquered the Turks, and thus she will defeat all our enemies today and obtain for us the most important grace of all, the grace of eternal salvation, if we are faithful to her. Pray the Rosary every day, then, my dear faithful, and pray it well, and have confidence in the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the power of her Rosary. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.